The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop, and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoy this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
Morning.
Afternoon. Well, it's almost afternoon.
Now, in your neck of the woods, in my neck of the woods, it's still morning. Time. Now, don't get ahead of yourself.
The place where the time doesn't ever change should be the correct time. The place where the time changes sounds confused. However.
I love that shirt, man. That's one of my favorites.
Cool.
You took that photo, right? Yeah, that's freaking cool. It's like an iconic. What makes something iconic?
Whatever you want it to be.
Because to me, that's like a pretty iconic photo.
Yeah, it was cool. This was taken out of the side of a minivan with the doors open, doing about 70 through a tunnel in Tokyo. Right after this, he got pulled over. And the way you get pulled over in Japan, or apparently, you don't pull off to the side of the road. So the cop was following him with these lights on for miles.
He had to pull over right away.
Because we were in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, he was sitting on like a box. There is no seat in it.
Whatever became of that thing?
I think it's still around.
Do you know?
I'm terrible at following up on things.
Who owns that truck? Who owns that truck?
You know, just terrible at following.
You know, just
Japanese dude.
It's okay.
He's a super cool guy. He was super fun to hang out with, and I'm still friends with him on Instagram or Facebook, but I just
it's all good. No, I just really like that photo. It's really cool. It really encapsulates that whole time, you know, just raw, fast, loud.
Doesn't care.
Fun.
No bed, driving it. I think we were on the road for 4 hours. Yeah. Did we
really
just drive
just
down
around.
The street? We drove from their place up to where the show was. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. That's awesome, man. It's been quite a week not for me. My week has been pretty boring-ish, but just because I've been just doing my thing, man, just in there, just making stuff, getting ready. But I meant for the whole Barrett Jackson week. It's been
Were you watching the YouTube channel or anything like that?
Been bouncing back between the YouTube channel, like the on TV, like, you know, watching the lots go by, like you were suggesting, like, you know, you gave me a list of vehicles with their lot numbers. Went through, just kind of tracked them, and a lot of interesting things have happened this week.
Yeah, I actually wasn't paying attention to it as much as I usually do. Yeah.
Oh, really? That's interesting, because like I was like, because I know that you pay attention really close. Yeah. I was paying attention close.
And then I would look down at the lot number, and I would go, oh, crap, I missed so-and-so. So I would just rewind the live.
That's exactly what I would do, because I missed the dually live going through live, but then I'm like, I bet you if I just scrub back, I'll find it. And then I did.
Yeah, they make it super easy. And it's so funny, because it's just like one after another, after another, after another. I mean, they're still going. I have it on right here in the background.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Because it goes through today, right?
They're doing memorabilia right now. So like.
Yeah, like signs and
stuff.
They're
doing old gas pumps right now. $5,000 for these gas pumps. They did a old Howard Johnson hotel restaurant sign. Like huge sign.
Cool.
And then Hogan. His son built he started off, it was like a go-kart, and then this one was like a more powerful go-kart with it was painted blue, and it went for 12 grand or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. I kind of fell down this little rabbit hole of those things. Like I was watching all of these like Honda mini bikes.
Dude,
it was so sick. Like these like perfectly meticulously restored mini bikes rolling through the block. You know, 10 grand, 12 grand, 20 grand. It's pretty wild. I've always wanted a, so I actually have, well, my family has two vintage mini bikes, but unfortunately they're not cool. They're like these, like the cool ones are Honda Cubs. Oh, yeah. I don't know familiar with those. Honda Cubs are the cool ones. They got the fairing. They're kind of low stock, and you can make them look even lower and do all sorts of cool things to them. My family has, I don't know the model numbers, but they're just sort of like more kind of dorky.
Are they like the, they're like 70s. They're a thinner frame.
They're late 70s. Yeah, they're like late 70s, early 80s. They have like a very
They're more of almost like a bicycle, like a moped.
Yes. They're all mopeds. They got like pedals. You start them with a pedal.
So in high school, my buddy had a moped, like a 70s yellow moped, long seat. Not a banana seat, but more like, you know, just a longer seat. Definitely not cool.
Yeah.
Didn't have the pedals, but it was the funnest thing to drive around.
I never got it. So the backstory with these is kind of cute. It's it is. My granddad bought these brand new, like in the late 80s. So it has all the original paperwork to them. He bought them from some Honda dealership here in Southern California. And he bought two of them, one for himself, one for my Nana. And it's got like, remember those old school like label makers where it's all bang, bang, bang. And it like, you know, like they're like an embossed label. No. Okay, so instead of like a printed label, but they're like embossed, so they come out like kind of like, anyway. However, so one says Frank and one says Anne. It's very cute. And like they have matching keychains and stuff. My sister has them currently. My brother-in-law, who's a meticulous like restorator, he went through and they're like, they look like museum pieces. Like they could probably pull some money out of Barry
Jackson.
It's
wild the things that you can restore and pull money out of. And watching all these things, and watching what gets money and what doesn't. And obviously Barrett Jackson is a car auction. So you cannot really base the value of what is happening in real life to what's happening at Barrett. But people do that all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, the prices of this Corvettes are tanking. The prices of this is tanking. And then the next year they're right back up, or 1 year, or one vehicle's high, one vehicle's low. And everyone gets on the old internet and says, but that doesn't reflect what is happening in real life.
And that's where I'm at. And that's what I want to talk about is the fact that like this year was a buyer's market.
It was, but there is a little asterisk there. So,
okay.
You know, we were on our chat and we were sending each other pictures, me, you and Daniel mostly, of just like, oh my gosh, this.
Yeah.
And I was like, these seem cheap and I wonder why. Right. So I started going and looking at the photos of the vehicles, and like, okay, I was like, these are kind of cookie cutter. They're not, they deserved the prices they were getting. And that's where the other side of this Barrett thing is, the people that are there buying know what they're buying. So they do the research on these cars. They go out there and they look and they see what parts are used and they look at fitment. And they, so when a car is crossing the block, it might look, you're like, dang, that's super nice. Why isn't that getting $100,000? And then, but if you actually took the time to look at the fitment of certain things, what parts they put on, what parts they didn't, then it starts to kind of come back to real life. And so,
and that's exactly what I landed on. That's exactly what I came to, because, you know, I have notes. that's what I landed on is like, you know, we were watching C10s go through for like $30,000, $40,000. And then you have something like the, and I know they're not completely comparable, but the Hogan K5 that went for $337. Like, what's the, we ask yourself, well, what's the difference? And that's exactly what the difference is one is built to the like really high standard using the most quality parts and, you know, all everything that comes with that. And then, like you said, you have these trucks that are put together, they're nice, they're put together well, but maybe they're lacking the wrong brakes or the buzzwords, so to speak, you know. And I think what happens is, and this is, I'm gonna have a ton of hot takes, okay? I've been preparing for this. I'm gonna have a ton of hot takes. I think what happens is since it was such a seller's market for so long that people thought that they could I don't know what the right term is, but they thought they could get away with getting $100,000 for these trucks, thinking that like, and maybe whether it be intentional or unintentional, using cheaper parts, using, you know, the paint's not so perfect, the interior's not so perfect, blah, 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 blah. But they had the ambition with going in there and selling them for a very mm-hmm. high price, and they essentially got the rug pulled out from yeah. under them, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because if you just put a set of generic wheels on there, if you just put a mm-hmm. set, you know, it's, these people know what they're buying. And there's mm-hmm. two people that buy at Barrett. There's people that buy, there's enthusiasts that buy, and then there's businesses that go in there and scoop up mm-hmm. 10 to 50 vehicles, and then they take them to Meekum, and then they resell them. And if you can get 10 to 20 grand on top of a good buy for 30 or 40 vehicles, then you made a lot of money, and you do that over and over and over again. And so, yeah.
So do you think the latter people, like the people who are buying these from Barrett and selling them on Meekum, are more in tuned into exactly what needs to be
they
bought?
Know the, like, they know what they could sell for. So if they're watching the price, and they're like, and it's not necessarily Meekum, they'll take them to any auction, online auctions. They'll bring them back to Barrett. There's cars that run through Barrett every year, different Barretts. Mm-hmm. They'll go to Florida, Vegas, and then, but they're watching them and they're going, they're taking notes. They're like, okay, this one, if it sells for 50, like, we'll buy it, but at 55, we're not buying it because we could probably get 60 over here. So like, it's mm-hmm. just one of those things. You're just playing the numbers.
What a wild thing to essentially leverage $50,000-$60,000, expect to sell it for 70 to make 10 grand. That's like so much risk to make $10,000.
You're not
you
making
know what I mean?
10
it
grand.
Just seems
you're if you buy 50 vehicles and then you sell.
Well, yeah, over. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a half a million dollars or more. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the risk becomes less.
I see. Because if you spread that risk out over like 10 vehicles, if one doesn't sell for what it does and one overperforms, it almost washes itself. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then those people are smart. They know, they send people out there. You know, I talk to guys out there. They're like, I'm here for my boss. You know, he buys all these cars and he just sends me out here because he knows I know what to look for. You know, mm-hmm. if a vehicle's got, you know, it just depends on what they have. But a lot of it's like fitment. You know, you start to really look into certain things. And you right. go, oh, they polish that turd, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then C10s are so easy to cookie cut. And it's like you said, people sat there and watched, you know, I remember the first $100,000 C10 that went through. It was a square body. And
like from previous
years?
Yeah.
Yep. It was uh-huh. one from out here. And it got like 110. And everyone was like, oh my, 110, see what? Oh my God. And then that started the whole thing. And then they were getting... Now you get 100 for a nice one. You're like, I lost my ass. Like,
right.
And then you have the people like Brian Val.
Which we're going to go into that too.
And this is public knowledge because he posted it on his Instagram.
I literally just, Ben sent me that and I read it. Ben really should be part of this conversation because yeah. like between you and him, because like I was joking with him saying like you guys were boots on the yeah. ground. Like you guys were in the mix, especially Ben was like way yeah, going yeah, yeah. into that, you know. So yeah, but he sent me that. Yeah, so we'll get to that. But yeah, Brian Val's dually. Yeah.
Well, first the Suburban
was projected. The Suburban,
which no one expected it to get. It was like kind of that weird one because of the paint choice and a few other things. But you know, it's a super sick thing. Like if you watch that go over the block,
that's nice.
With brag top open, it's sick. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
But it's just not for everybody. So.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Sick. And cool
doesn't
equal
and
money.
Again, you only need two people that want the vehicle. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't need any. You don't need.
Oh, to battle yeah, each
that's
other.
That's all you need. You only need two people.
Right.
But it roughly came in around what I was expecting. Lower for them, obviously. But yeah, but
110.
Yeah, 110. And then, but the dually, yeah, that one was. Someone made a good point to me. They said, "Yeah, it checks all the boxes, but it almost checks too many boxes." Because it's too low, the wheels are maybe off putting for somebody, and that it's got little tires on it. Mm. So it checks all of our boxes, and it you know. But what would it be? What I wonder what it would do if it had like a different, you know, maybe a smaller diameter wheel with a little bit of a chunkier tire, and it wasn't as low.
So, well, first of all, we have to explain that was projected to go for like upward of 200 something. Right?
Yeah, I think like people were thinking 250-ish.
Right. And it sold for 175, which according to Val's IG post, barely covers the cost of what it cost to build.
And he got deals on stuff. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, he has some pretty far-reaching, yeah, you know, outlets to build, yeah, that thing. So. My hot take is, I mean, not hot take, because it's the exact same take as you. It's a dually. It's like, it is so freaking cool, but it is a dually with a diesel motor with, you know, those choice wheels.
Yeah, but like, the dually with the diesel motor is the positive benefit.
You think
100%.
So?
100%. Why a dually with a gas motor is a negative benefit?
Well, okay. No, what I'm talking about is, but see, we're kind of petering off into that, like, personal. Well, of course, like, I would want a
thing. Are you saying because it's a dually?
Like, for the buyers, I'm not talking about our preference. Like, I think it's the whole truck to me is a super sick. I couldn't even fathom owning something like that. A diesel is much better than a gas motor. Blah 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 blah. But I'm not, sorry, I don't mean to say blah blah blah. But what I'm saying is exactly what we're talking about from the buyer standpoint. If that guy's either trying to flip it, like if someone was buying it just for pleasure, then fine, whatever. But if someone was buying it to flip,
yeah, but that's all. You're only speaking there. There's still the people buying it there for pleasure. It's not just a business thing. You still have probably more than half of the people at Barrett buying for pleasure.
I see.
It's not just a business thing. It is a pleasure thing. So I don't think that hindered the deal at all. I think it was just.
I just think it was too unique. Like if you would have put
I don't think so. Oh. Because a dually is not unique.
Right.
So that throws that out the window right there. Mm-hmm. You know, is unique. It's not even, I don't know, because it checks every single box. It's just the skinny tires and the big wheels, I think.
I don't mean to argue with you. Yeah. but then, okay, but look at it from this perspective too. If that sells for $175K, and the Hogan K5 sells for $337. They're almost essentially built with the same type of quality.
But what about the big old quad six wheelers that are selling for $700,000-$800,000?
Well, I don't know.
The dually part doesn't really work in that argument because there are even weirder things out there that are selling for way more.
But what if I was to offer this? What if the dually falls in between both those things? Yes, a six-wheel Raptor is freaking crazy to own. So if you're a rich guy and you want to show off to your friends buying something weird, that is something absurdly weird, and you're like, hey, check this thing out. Or you're going to be like the type of guy with a lot of money who wants a clean thing to cruise around in, like the K5, and show off to his friends that this is a super like nice four-wheel drive pickup. The dually almost falls in between those two things, where it's not quite weird enough to like be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's two different types of vehicles completely between a K5. Yeah, they're using.
Oh yeah, it's really hard to compare the two. They're apples to oranges, really, at the end of the day.
And we're just trying, like the Hogan one too. He's marketed himself so much, so those trucks that
that's
selling,
the other thing,
he's selling his name to that. That's attached to it. So,
right.
Yeah,
it's again. Yeah, no, I completely agree to that part of it too, because Hogan, like, he's built a brand around his builds.
Starting with
we all know Tre 5 is a brand, and it's a good, and they're good builders and they build quality things. But, and I may be speaking out of pocket here, but on the grand scale of things, some dude who just has a bunch of money probably has heard of Hogan before he's heard of Tre 5.
If they're looking for K5 Blazers.
And that's the hard part, right?
If you're looking for a C10, it might be the other way around. But if you're looking for like the guy that's now known for C10 or for K5 Blazers, then and that's the other thing too, is like when you're, a lot of people get caught up in like the Friday night and Super Saturday stuff. If you go and just look at what goes across like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like it's just regular old.
Well, that's what we were talking about on a previous episode, building a Tuesday afternoon.
Going to build a truck at some point in time, and the name of the truck will be like Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, I think that's super cool. Yeah. I think that's a super cool idea. Yeah, and that's been since, I mean, Barrett has been around for forever, but it just seemed, that's not an accurate thing, because I was going to say that like it's just like a recent development where people are like looking at these things and trying to gauge the market of their builds with Barrett. But actually, they've been doing that forever, because I remember being a kid And people talk about Barrett, oh, this thing sold for this much. And so it's always been a prevalent thing where people see these things and then they equate it to their, you know, C10s in the backyard kind of thing. And, you know, but whatever they got going on.
What I kind of saw was like with the C10 and the K5, like you saw a lot of C10s and a lot of K5 Blazers. So you have like the Hogan stuff that takes the lead. And then everyone's like, okay, I'm going to build a K5 Blazer and see if I could sell it for 200, 250. And then everyone sees some of the C10 stuff goes through, and they're like, but then they put their own twists on them, and they kind of take them out of that market, or they don't put enough money into them, and they just are just like, nah, it's fine. It is,
yeah,
it is
exactly. Yeah. And that, I think that's the biggest difference. And we, that's what we were talking about just a moment ago, is the biggest difference is people think they can recreate these things for cheaper, but still achieve the same goal, and then when their thing rolls through for $40,000,
and they like, and no one's looking at that because they don't care about that truck, because you could take an equal to one of the Hogan ones, and it'll probably get less because of the name. Like that's where the marketing and the branding comes in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Hogan has branded himself as this builder.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like it's like the guy who has Icon. Is it Icon Motorsports, which is Icon, the guy
for or something?
Yeah. The guy here in Los Angeles who builds like, very bespoke, Broncos and F100s and stuff like that. That dude has not spent more time building his brand, but has put an equal amount of effort into building the brand as building the truck.
Yeah.
You know, and Hogan's doing that too. Cause I mean, you got to think about Hogan 10 years ago. You know, I mean, he was still building cool stuff, but he's not, wasn't what he is today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean? Well, he started, his first thing at Barrett was the cab over with the rat rod.
That's right. Yeah. That was his very first one that he sold.
Yeah. And he didn't build that for Barrett or anything. He just built it, took it to SEMA, and then took it to Barrett and at Crossing, and it got good money. And he took that and like kind of looked around at the market and figured it out, you know, and then he's just
realized there was a space for these K5s.
Yeah. And then I'm wondering what's going to happen now, because it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. Because if you're a guy right now and you're going, okay, I got a couple C10s, I'm going to build them. I got a couple K5s, or I'm going to build a K5 and you might be thinking twice about it, you know, and the other big market is is the Broncos, you know, you know, cause there was some Broncos that went through last year that got 350,000. I even want to say a 400,000 one.
But that was so Ben knows them or is friends with the guys. So like, oh no, he's just following him. He said
Paradise.
He's not friends with them. Yeah. So it was Broncos.
I just got off the phone with him a little while ago. Oh, actually. Okay. Yeah.
So he he told me that these two Broncos, it's a red one and like a mint one, that went for 160 and 180 respectively. But he was in them. 250.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had
that's so scary.
I know. Well, he had those
for us.
He had those. But the thing is he's not building them. He contracts to different people to build them.
I see.
So he's spending a lot more money as to where if he was doing them in house. I think he's now starting to do more stuff in house. I'm not sure. But it's called Paradise Customs. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy's done a couple, Frank's painted a couple, but you know, you're paying shop rate to build a truck from ground up. From these two shops that take a lot of time to do this, and you're putting stuff in Coyote motors in them, making custom stuff for the cages, and just all kinds of stuff.
Frank had a white one in his shop for the Trey 5 party before Dino's, right?
Yeah,
is that one of those trucks?
They built like 4, 5, or 6 of these.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last,
but see
years.
it starts from that Icon guy, because that Icon guy was building Broncos like that. But to, you know, but again, in-house, like to a different standard. And that guy from Icon, I really don't think he gets mixed up in the whole Barrett thing.
No, he
builds them for clients.
He built. You go on his website and you pick what motor you want, what chassis you want, what this, and then he builds it to that.
And that kind of like, I'm going to have, okay, Frank's hot take number two, which is, again, I know it's very hard to compare these things, but that's to me, that kind of like, I look at that. When you have things like Broncos and you have things like K5s, I'm going to reach deep and then I'm going to come back. So I've been watching a lot of these videos. It's called Everest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of them. It's like house videos. Okay. So it's this channel that's dedicated to finding really interesting houses all over Southern California and LA and Palm Springs and Joshua Tree and stuff like that. And they're really cool houses. It never fails that in every single one of these driveways is a Porsche. Some sort of 911, a new one, an old one, but it's always a Porsche. And I, almost like it's getting to like a parody, like every time they upload one of these videos. And what I also notice is like guys who are into those kind of like kind of houses, who are into Porsches, are also in when they get into like more truck stuff, they're into more Broncos, they're into more K5s, mm-hmm. they're into more of these things. So the thing that I'm trying to say is like there's already this like culture built around these things. And the dually doesn't fit in those.
Oh yeah.
Unless you're like a truck dude who has a ton of money and you're a truck dude, you know, and you see that dually and you're like, yeah, man, that is so cool, and I have the money to buy it, and I'm gonna pay a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit into that other world of dudes who are into like expensive houses, Porsches, planes.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you like think of an advertisement, right, of like Yosemite or something, and it's just a road to the end. Like, I'll put a picture right here of the Grand Tetons that I took. And I was standing in the middle of the road, and there's snow-capped mountains behind it. And if you take a Blazer, a K5, or a Bronco, and you set it in that picture, and you desaturate it a little bit or put some grain on it, you know what I mean? And that's – it doesn't take away from the majestic – it doesn't take away from the photo.
Right.
You drop that dually in there.
You'd be like, what is that?
Yeah, like, why is that up there? You know what I mean?
You know, that is a perfect illustration of the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Because that makes perfect sense in the house example that I have. You have this mid-century modern house, perfectly restored, and you have this like really clean 911 sitting in the driveway. And it just fits the whole scene. But you're right. You park that dually there, and you're like, and in my head when I fantasize about that stuff, and I fantasize about my mid-century home, and I picture like a bag Tundra sitting. Mm-hmm. Again, it ruins the whole aesthetic. Yeah.
But then you take the other side of that coin, and you take a big modern house with these big modern garages, cement, a big boat right here, and you put the dually there.
Makes sense.
Looks super sick, right? Yeah. So like, there's a. I don't know what the saying is. There's a something for everybody, right?
Right. No, that makes perfect sense too.
So
that a 911 would look weird sitting in that scenario.
Yeah, or it would look good, but then the dually next to it would complement the space. So you also have those dudes at Barrett,
and they had got just
as
much
they
money.
Just got space to fill,
right?
And they've got money to move around. So it's a gamble, regardless. It's almost like there's both these types of people at Barrett Jackson. One's with the vintage houses, one's with the modern houses with these big garages, big barn dominiums that open up and big LED badass lights that make this thing, the garage, super bright.
Mm-hmm.
And they, if you build a K5, you're like, there's 100 K5 Blazers going from Monday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
How many dualies are going from Monday to Sunday?
Right.
So now you're actually like reversing your chances.
Right.
You're just like, yeah, the dually's a little bit different, but it's now not the same as all these other Blazers coming through. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. It would be, if I had a lot of money, I think I would do this as a rush.
And I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I really think that's what it comes down to is these guys with, I mean, we kind of like touched on this before about when we had our like $1 billion conversation, and we often talk about just having, you know, endless amounts of money to do whatever you want eventually. So yeah, you're going to buy the supercars and you're going to buy it, but then that's going to wear off. Yeah. And then you're like, what, now what? And then that's how you end up with a freaking 6-wheel Raptor.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I get it. That rush goes away and you need like the next thing, you know?
Yeah. It's like a gambling rush. Like like what gamblers, high rollers do.
Yeah.
You know, go to Vegas.
And especially
instantly.
Like with all the commotion going on and the yelling and the.
Yeah. Well, I was watching a TikTok of a guy bidding because you can just bid online. You can sit at your house. You don't even have to go to Barrett. You just sit there and bid online.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bidding on a Bronco, but a more recent, like a 90s Bronco, really super badass black one. And he's sitting there and he's just like, all right. And he goes click, and then the screen went green, so he's on the top bid, and then it went red because someone outbid him, and then he's like dink, and then he did it again, and he bid it up to like 105, and then he just let it go, but he couldn't. He's like, oh, I'm not going past this, and then someone outbid him, and he goes, no, I can't be outbid. So now it's not even about the vehicle, it's about your ego. You're, I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to lose. But then you win and then you go, imagine that. You're just like, your brain's just like, I'm not going to let be beat. But now you just overspent on this thing.
And isn't that essentially what incredibly wealthy people like strive for, is power? And I think you just really like kind of encapsulated the whole ultra rich mentality. Like, well, the things don't matter.
Yeah, well, that's what the a lot of people say, like, oh, it's, if you can go in on Saturday around 7:38, that's prime spot. Friday or Saturday, 7:38, because the people have been there drinking. So you get those guys with a lot of money. They got drinks in them, and they're just like.
Is that what Val was kind of like alluding to, that his space got bumped and he went out, it went through earlier in the day?
Yeah, because everybody wants to go through at a certain time. And if you go through too early, they think that, you know, they might not have been in front of the right eyeballs. But at the same time, your truck's been there since Sunday. They opened that
place on Sunday. And they've been researching it.
Yeah, yeah, they're walking around. They're looking at it. They're looking at the photos. They're asking questions. They're doing this. So does it mean that? You know, if you're going there specifically for a type of vehicle, I would be interested to know, if you just go there to buy a vehicle, you don't know what you want, and you sit down in the seat and you just wait till they cross the block, and you didn't even do any research. I wonder how many of those people there versus the people that went and did the research.
You know who those people could be? The first person that you're referring to? Because like, when you're buying these extremely custom vehicles and like, you know, hand built things, like, I think you do have to do your due diligence and go through. But sometimes when you're buying a Corvette, like, what research do you need to do, really? You know?
Yeah, because you already kind of know.
Yeah. And those are kind of the dudes who are just maybe sitting there and they're like, oh, that one's cool. It's a Corvette. I know about Corvettes. Oh, yeah, I'll buy that one.
Yeah. Frank's white four door Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. He sold that on here.
When he sold it, it went through, I think, at 55 or 53. Oh,
so it went more now.
It bumped up to 65.
70.
So
are these, the numbers that I'm looking at are with fees?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so there's a buyer's fee and a seller's fee.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's like a 10% total, I think. Or how come it 12%.
Doesn't? Can you look when you? Because all I did was I went through and I looked at the lot numbers, and that's do they show you what it is pre, or do you just know that?
I just know it because I just went back and looked at the video. What it hammered.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see. So hammering is different than a lot of people will say, sale.
A lot of people will be like, yeah, I sold it for 350. And it's like, no, you sold it for 325. Like, you didn't get 350. You got 325, and then you had to pay an extra amount on top of that 325, and then you also had to, the buyer had to pay. So Barrett Jackson gets their cut.
Barrett Jackson's just making money.
Oh, they're raking in the dough, dude. I mean, you
so much money.
Every single thing being sold, they're making, I think, 8%.
Jeez,
you know,
there
what I mean?
Are hundreds rolling
and
through.
Every minute and a half, every 90 seconds. Damn. You know. They do a lot of really good stuff for charity, though. Like, there was, I think, that brand new, very first Corvette went for like $3.8 million. It was the new one coming out, the 1,000 horsepower Z1 crazy twin turbocharged new one. They always, the OEMs will always like run the VIN number one of that vehicle through Barrett as a charity. And then Barrett waives all the fees. So.
I'll tell you something interesting, because I have a whole nother conversation to talk about, but that plays into it. So then what did the dually, what did he get for that? If it hammered for one, or I'm sorry, if it...
175.
Oh, okay. And that's why I have this confused, because I actually did watch that one roll through and I wrote it down, and all the rest, I just went to the... Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So the hammer price that you see as it's going through, the fees are on top of that.
I see. Okay. So they're based on, so if I went price. To the lot number of the dually, it's probably like 200 something or over 200. I see. Okay. So the Cadillac specifically, Frank sold that before. Did he buy it back, or did someone else, that was just someone else sold it, resold it?
Whoever sold it was the one that bought it.
So Frank had nothing to do with that. But it went up in value.
Well, it went up in what it sold for.
I think we have to make that whole thing right.
It's just the value is of who is bidding on it.
Right.
But yeah, did you see the Cadillac that Frank bought at Barrett?
No.
It's a red two door on wire wheels. I don't know what year it is or anything, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think he got it for like $12,000.
Really?
And he's
is it on his Instagram? I can just peep it out real quick.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, let me check it out real quick.
Might be on his Instagram, or it could be on his personal Instagram. Mm-mm. But it's hilarious. It's just like those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday deals that you could get.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about. I can't find it. I thought I could find it quicker, but yeah, that's kind of cool. That's really interesting. Yeah. He's a funky dude. He likes funky cars.
He likes funky things, man. He's that dude that like goes against the norm on things, you know, and it's really cool because everyone else does the normal thing and he does a gold C10 on gold wheels with a gold grill and a gold this.
Well, I mean, he is a mini trucker.
That's just true. And so is Jeremy.
Yeah. So what
as
other,
much as,
yeah, I know as much as
he doesn't want to say it.
No,
he,
I know.
You look at the builds and you're going,
those little mini trucker touches.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So which ones were also built by Tre 5?
Was not built by, but just the Dooley, the bourbon. And then the caddy he bought already done. It was just gold. So Frank did all the work on that. But I think that's it. Okay. Oh, there was a yellow and white square body that I don't know what they did to that.
So the ones that you said to look out for, and I was wondering why, is one called Dollywood and one called Wren. What's the story on those?
Okay, so Dollywood was the Hogan built C10.
Oh, that okay.
It was like a canary yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It was just lowered, but it was super detailed paint, had a really badass engine in it. I filmed them doing donuts in it.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so like that went for 200.
Yep.
And then Wren is the replica of Travis Barker's, the one that he did for Travis Barker.
But
so
orange.
He did that orange. Well, no, they're both orange. Travis.
I thought it's black.
Too. No, that
was a different one.
That's not Travis's.
Oh.
That one was built and hopes to sell to Travis, but Travis goes, this is too much for me. I want something simple. So he passed on it. And then it went through Barrett and sold. But the one that was actually built for Travis is just a orange, basic, you know, simple. It's not there's no LS in it. There's no like.
Oh, it's really? It's like a small block?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know what it is. But he just wanted something super simple. He goes, I don't want all this crazy, you know, this fancy stuff. And so someone came in and they're like, I want a replica of that. Or no, I think, no, they didn't say that. I'm sorry. They just built a replica of that, but did a couple little nicer things to it. Different motor, like upgraded the motor, did all that stuff. And then that one went for, where's my notes at? I think that one went for 200 too.
Yeah, that's what I have it down for, 220 if it was, so 200 minus fees.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And then the other one that I just caught my eye because like I was talking about a couple episodes ago about my Jesse James thing, you know, back in the early 2000s.
Oh, his Merc, huh?
Yeah, 385.
Yep.
It's crazy. I mean, it's beautiful. It's really, really nice. I remember when he first built that car, actually. So, yeah, really cool.
There was a couple of things. The Gas Monkey C10 went through that got a good chunk of change.
I didn't see that one.
That was that cream one with the weird, like, the stripes on it. It was the one that we put in the it was in the group chat that we were.
I didn't see it.
Me and Daniel's chat.
Oh, I missed that one. So the other interesting thing, so the boots on the ground are, but our good friend Ben, boots on the ground, you know, he was, I asked him for his insights and stuff and just, you know, he kind of like gave me a rundown. And the things that he found interesting was as much as the C10s and stuff were selling for and all this crazy stuff, he said that JDM cars are going nuts right now.
Yeah, they are. It's a good time to do those, but they're not going nuts in the sense of like, they're going nuts. I don't know. I could be wrong, but they're not getting like upwards of like 200 ish.
I think he just meant that they were like, just like good sellers.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
if you were to say like in like, kind of like, hyperbolic terms, like C10s are down, JDMs are up, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he says, so then this is an interesting take that he had. And I think it's okay that I'm saying this because I asked him for his opinions and I think that's okay. He said when a recreation Ecto-1, which is the Ghostbusters car, sells for $290, that tells you it's wealthy people buying, not car people. And then like a 959 Porsche, a Pagani and supercars, he says those were down. But so I guess his point is that like, like we were saying earlier, is you have car people and then you have non-car people buying stuff. And like that's his point. Like if this recreation of a movie car is going for 290, but like a really nice supercar is going down, it goes to show you that like these people are just buying stuff because it's cool kind of thing.
Yeah. It would be interesting to like find the buyers of those random things and
just see what's up with them.
Because like, why would you buy that ghost? Like, were you a young kid, a fan of Ghostbusters, and now you own this construction company and you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
I just love Ghostbusters. Us, we like find a poster and we buy it.
Yeah.
We love something.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
And like, they're buying full on cars. Buying
full on. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe he's not a car guy. Maybe he's a Ghostbusters guy.
Right.
You know, maybe this, but the Paganis and those types of cars, the supercar stuff at Barrett is always crazy. Mm-hmm. Like the things that go through there, and that's just a transfer of money, essentially. You know, they're buying the thing, they have the thing, they tell their friends they have the thing, they drive it around, maybe take it to Monterey, and then they're like, well, I'm done with the thing. And then they put it in Barrett, and then someone else does the thing, and then they buy another thing, and it's just basically just a transfer of wealth.
Which is the next part of our conversation here, because I wanted to get to the bottom of something. At least I tried. I dipped my toes in the water and realized the pool is very deep. It's basically what I came down to, because I was like, okay, the cynical part of me goes like, what's really going on here? Why is this, like you said, this transfer of wealth going on? What is the benefit of it? Why get so wrapped up into this? And I think that after having this conversation, I'm changing my tune a little bit, because I think, like you're saying, it's just wealthy people doing wealthy people stuff, which is buying toys, buying and selling toys. But then I thought, like, let's take it, because obviously there's that at the very surface. But then these guys are businessmen. They're smart financial guys. They got to have some sort of like financially, I don't want to say financial responsibility, you know, having responsibility of this approach, but they have to have some sort of other thing. So I went on this little deep dive about taxes and collector cars, and I found some very interesting things. So my first thought was like, okay, what these guys are doing is they're buying these cars to park their money in as investments, maybe as like to reduce their tax liability. That's got to be one of it. I don't think so, because it doesn't work like that. And this is what I mean. Like, what I'm about to go into, there could be a ton of holes in it. I'm just a layman going after this, so you have to bear with me. So basically, you heard of capital gains tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So capital gains tax on collectible cars is 28%. So which means that whatever you sell the car for, is like, say you had a car, you sold for $200,000. Now you owe the IRS 28% of that, because that's a capital gains income. But it gets a little more complicated. It's actually, you only pay capital gains on the difference of basically the profit you sold it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so if you bought it for 150 and sold it for 200, then you're only really paying that 28% on the 50, not the full 200,000.
Yeah.
So that, I think that has something to do with it. And then also you can go a step further. So you can say, okay, let's take one of these trucks, for example, because the supercars, they don't really fall into this category. These trucks do more. If you had a C10, and you sold it for $200,000. Let's say you built the whole truck and you sold it for $200,000. Well, you can reduce that tax liability by saying how much you spent building it. Mm-hmm. So if you spent $150,000 building it, again, you're only responsible for that $50,000 profit that you made on it. So I'm thinking that a very smart, savvy person could take that tax liability and really minimize it by just hitting by knowing how to go through the right mm-hmm. channels. That 28% is only if it's higher, capital gains on collectible cars, no higher than 28%, only if lower than your income rate. So if you pay more in your, say you're super rich and you're like up there in the highest tax brackets, you're paying the highest percentage on income tax, you don't have to pay the 28% because you're already paying a higher percentage in your tax bracket than what the 28% is for in the car. That's where I think a lot of these cars fall into. If you're an ultra wealthy person and you're buying and you had you're making all this money during the year and you need to offload some money and you buy one of these cars, then you could sell that car and that kind of reduces your tax liability a little bit, because you're already paying a high rate anyway. So it's almost like they're just kind of pushing this money around in different things. You know what I mean? And then what really caught my ear is what you said about, and this changes the whole freaking thing, is if the, since Barrett is a charity and you're selling these cars, and you could write that off too.
Well, it's not a charity. It's only a charity if you sell the car for a charity. The whole thing's not a charity.
But they, because Barrett, like I said, this pool is 200 foot deep and I only know a half an inch of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I mean, it could be, there could be something that, like, if Barrett does that, then maybe their business, a portion of it is like, now I'm not saying the whole thing is a charity, but since they do charitable things, they're the structure of their corporation.
Let's not fool ourselves. Barrett Jackson is not doing charitable things because they are these people.
That's the point that I'm trying
to make. They're not, you know, they're, the owner, Craig, is not going, you know, I'm sure he loves to, you know, it doesn't matter. Like people like enjoy giving things. Right. But the more wealthy you are, the less you care about these things.
Right. Unless it,
but there is still a little care, right? I mean, there's still for sure. Some, right?
I'm not saying these people are monsters.
Well, we'll speak to the ones like this, but
anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, and then some charities are obviously more important to some people. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people that will give like to military charities or whatever, a Red Cross. Like, they did the one that Chevy did and stuff was for the American Red Cross, which is a great charity. You know, like, it's just overall helps people in times of need. And then there's more direct charities where there's like cancer research or da 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 da, where you can choose where it wants to go and all that. But yeah, let's not fool. Like, if Barrett was like, they didn't want to waive the fees on the $3.7 million Corvette. They did that because if they didn't do that, you know, they're waiving the fees in order to say, we give some of our money to charity because the other fees that they get, it probably lessens the tax burden on the other fees that they get.
And that's exactly my point that I'm trying to make. It is all, it's look, the rich stay rich because they know how to stay rich.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They know how to weave, and they pay people millions of dollars to navigate them through this, you know?
Yeah.
So the fun part is buying $200,000 C10s. It's almost like you have this guy, a super rich person who's just buying these things, but he has an army behind him to kind of like clean up the mess, you know? Like, yeah, you had a ton of fun buying that truck, but now we need to go through and figure out how this doesn't really take a blow to you. You know what I mean? And that's the truth. And that's like a lot of, man, this is going to go into a bad conversation here, but that's, in today's society, we get wrapped up in this thing that like hard work will set you free.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Knowing how to navigate, once you do make it to that point, it's navigating through the rest to stay at that point.
Yeah.
That's where the true, like, not these black and white motivational things on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's some guy plugging away at numbers in an office, saving this dude money on his $200,000 C10 buy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so so I went on a little deep dive on that. I really wanted to try to.
I mean, I've been part of these things where people go, "Hey, I'll pay you to film this build because I need the tax write off for this. So if I can get the exposure out of the video, it's a marketing thing, right?
And especially like, I'm like completely out of base on this one, but I'm just going to take a wild, you know, stab at this. It could be more unique in the truck world too.
Yeah.
Because trucks, no matter if they're old or new, they're still trucks, and they still fit within a different like tax system. There was this YouTuber that I recently watched, and I think you sent me the video. The young guy who bought a supercar and he was writing it off as a tax write off in the IRS.
Oh, the Stradman.
Oh yeah, that guy. Yeah. So then he said something that was really offhanded, but it was the point of the whole thing, because he says, I bought this supercar for $200,000+, and I'm only able to write off a small percentage of it. But this big 6-wheel Jeep thing, I'm able to write off the whole thing. At face value, like, oh, that's ridiculous. But it's two different things you're talking about. You're talking about a truck that meets a certain criteria that is able to be written off like that. And if you think about it, maybe that's where all this stuff starts fitting in. That's why C10s are so popular. These trucks are so popular. K5s are so popular because they fit a certain.
I would push back a little bit on that.
I know.
Because
I know.
I,
That's my reaching part.
Yeah. I think that would definitely fit into some people.
Right.
But I don't think everyone's as, I don't want to say as smart, but maybe they're just not, I don't know. $100,000 is not a lot of money to people anymore. You know what I mean?
That's like, true too. I mean,
it's just, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're going to Barrett and you see that one that Hogan did, that canary yellow one, it's a done, it's a finished truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you walk into Barrett and you pay $210,000 for it and you have it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you walk into Hogan and you say, hey, can you build this truck? And I want it just like that, but maybe a different color. How much are you going to, you're going to spend $200,000 and you're going to have it in 2 years.
Right.
Or a year.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there's just those, they just, these people that could have inherited money, they could have done this, they could have, so who knows? Who mm-hmm. knows? But it would be really interesting to find the buyer, because we always talk about the sellers. We know who the sellers are,
mm-hmm.
but who are the buyers?
I know. I would be so fascinated to just kind of like wade through that whole thing and just like ask questions and, you know, what do you got going
especially
on?
Especially the weird ones, the strange ones, you know? Like we know who the guys, like I was at a guy's house in Scottsdale and, he had a old Cadillac that he bought at Barrett a few years ago, and then he had a McLaren. He was an ex Chippendales dancer.
What?
Yeah, he made his wealth in the 80s and then in early 90s, and he didn't spend any of his money. Like he said, all my buddies, they all spent their money. He goes, I saved everything.
Wow.
And this dude's like 70, just fit. Small, short dude, but just fit, right?
Yeah.
Just phenomenally in phenomenal shape, and all mm-hmm. these pictures of him up there flexing in his thing and all this stuff. And I saw him at Barrett. I was walking down, not this year, last year or 2 years ago, I was walking down the thing and he's looking at Corvettes and he goes, oh, hey, what's going on? I was like, hey, he goes, yeah, I'm going to buy one of these Corvettes. I'm just checking them out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that guy who's just this guy. He's there by himself. He wants a 50s Corvette, 60s Corvette. And he's just looking at him and he's just going to buy one.
Yeah.
Because I want one.
That reminds me also of Duffy from Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty well-known person for doing that, like making a lot of money and investing it wisely, and he's still very, very wealthy to this day, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that reminds me of that. But, yeah, man. So we went through this whole thing. Take me through, because how long were you there yesterday?
I wasn't. I didn't end up
going. Oh, you didn't go?
No.
You were supposed to tell me about all this stuff.
Well, you know.
Never mind. All right. See you next week. No, I thought you were going to have.
No.
I thought you were going to have stories. And
I planned on it. Yesterday, I woke up and went into downtown Phoenix to the Kyusha Club. I forgot.
You went back to that, huh?
Yeah. And it was at a different location this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this garage, this old garage in downtown. Like smack. It's called Roosevelt Row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this like arts district where it's just alleys of graffiti and places to eat, and there's like street vendors set up selling, you know, stuff, and then there's this auto shop and it had all these badass old JDM and European cars in it. Looked like something out of straight up like Fast and Furious or something. I met up with Lindsay and we went down there and took some video and some photos and walked around downtown for a while and then I was gonna go to Barrett, some stuff came up, didn't go, and then
Was Ben there too at that thing?
He was.
Okay, because that's why I just figured you were doing all that, because he caught you cruising the Mavi around the corner.
Yeah.
And so I just assumed that like you guys were doing that day.
That was me looking for free parking because I forgot my wallet.
Oh, whoops.
I like got halfway there. I'm all, oh man.
You don't have your cards attached to your phone?
No.
Oh, dude. See?
No.
Get
no.
with the future.
I know I should. I have all the apps on there because I use my app to like when I park in downtown, I just mm-hmm. use an app. But everywhere around this was a different parking company than where I usually go mm-hmm. in downtown. So,
yeah, man, you just got to hit the double click and beep,
tap. But it wouldn't work where I was parking. You had to have a credit card.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Yeah, that's what I was just like, oh, I have my phone. I can just use my app on the ParkWiz because you just enter your space number on the app and it does it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and they're like, nope. Mm-mm. It was a city thing. So the city hasn't gotten with the future yet.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's you had to slide a card. So I had to park a couple streets up.
That's awesome. And then, so that was a bunch of JDM cars and
people, and just there was some trucks down there, some other random stuff. And like right in the parking lot, it was behind this church. And then in the auto shop is next to the church parking lot. So you had, that was all reserved for JDM and European pre 2005. But then you had like alleyways and other parking lots adjacent and streets just lined up with different
and just
kinds
full
of cars, cruising around.
Wow.
Wah, 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 boom, 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 doing all this stuff. You could just stand on the corner and literally people were walking around. It just looked like a scene out of, I don't even know what it was, but it was so fun just to stand there and just watch everyone hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds you of the old days, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. That's, and I think that's like one scene that I don't think it's getting, obviously it's not getting slept on because it's so big. It's, we are sleeping on that scene because like, mm-hmm. that's the same thing down here in LA with the vintage Japanese motoring union.
Oh yeah. Same thing.
And they're, dude, they're doing stuff every single weekend.
Yeah.
Like it's, you could cruise down there right now and they're probably doing something outside their shop.
You should definitely just go down there and just take the 4Runner down there and just,
go down there,
park, walk around. Look, you know what I mean?
Remember I was posting up all those pictures to the group of all the junk I have around here and I have that little 510. That'd be sick.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Nah, but
yeah,
maybe I might end up building something. I am like getting more and more. I mean, I've always been into the JDM cars, but I'm starting to like, start noticing them more. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever build a JDM car. Maybe if I had more money than I would do, I'd love to do like a 95 Civic hatchback, mm-hmm. but
like a, what do they call those? E something.
Yeah. I don't know. My buddy had one.
Those are my favorites
back in the day. It was 95 SI red hatchback.
Mm-hmm.
And
why were they all red?
I don't know.
I had a buddy with a red hatchback.
I don't know. It was so much fun. That thing was a blast, but I like to incorporate those things into my future stuff with trucks,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, so that's why it's just fun to look different. It's just a different crowd. You know, you go to a mini truck cruise night and it's the same people. It's the same trucks. There's 20 of them, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And you go down here and there's 100 to 200 cars driving around downtown, parking in random spots, little group meetups over here, little group meetups over there. The Churchill was right across the street, which is a container park with all kinds of bars and restaurants in it.
Oh, cool.
And you go down there, there's a DJ playing music inside that. There's a DJ playing music inside the auto shop. And then you go to like the it's just cool. It's just a downtown vibe type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever think that they feel the same way? Like, this is the same old people. Same old cars.
Because when I went to Southern Worthersea, I made this post, I remember on Facebook about how it was so cool, but compared to the truck scene. And then some guys comment and they're like, bro, it sucks too.
Like, see, that's the thing.
It doesn't matter. It's new to me. It's not new to me, but like it's different. So I get excited for it. But at the same time, it's all the same stuff.
But maybe that goes to show us that, like, you know, we need to go do those things to keep it fresh. Like, just go check out. You don't have to fully immerse. Like you're saying, like, I was like, oh, maybe build something JDM. And you're like, maybe just enjoy it. Go down there.
That's all it is. Yeah.
You don't have to fully immerse yourself in the thing, right?
No, you don't. Yeah, exactly. It's just the scenery.
Right.
Essentially, you know, like, I love going to Yosemite, but I'm not going to go camping.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go buy an overland truck, but I enjoy the scenery.
Yeah. No, I get it.
You know,
yeah,
so
I
like, totally get but it. Yeah. And it's super fun. Just walking around too, looking at there's an old hotel down there. We were just looking at every, like all the stuff. So
that's cool. Heck yeah, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then I had to drive home and then I had to drive back to downtown because me and Milan went to see Adam Ray last night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Heck yeah, man. What I was going to ask you something. Oh, any like Tacoma updates, any build updates going on?
Nothing. I'm super secret.
Or
no, just nothing.
Just nothing going on.
Just nothing. Tanner's back Monday or something like that. And then
Sitting at his house?
Is that Tanner's house?
Yeah. It's still there. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just waiting on that to see, how much time he has when he gets back. And then, the other truck at Pandas, I'm waiting on something. That video's done. I'm waiting on something before I release that video because I want to. I'm trying to do better. Is what I'm trying to do.
That's all we're trying to do, man.
You know what it is? Is I'm just trying to be more calculated.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
In the delivery of these things,
mm-hmm.
and because I think that's really important. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like because you could blow all your load on Instagram with pictures and stuff, and then there's no surprises in the video,
right?
Or you could just wait.
Which is really hard to do. Because you want to just like me, I'm just constantly putting everything out there. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, cool. Yeah. Right on.
So, yeah, that's it. When you Do you, when you, oh yeah. So have you printed your new shirt yet?
That one. Not that yet. I'm going to hold off on saying that. I have a new shirt, but we'll talk about that later until I get it all hammered out and stuff. But
okay.
Yes, it turned out super cool. Well, actually people know about it. It's, we talked about it before.
We already showed the thing.
Yeah, we already showed the thing. So it's the Rick the Dutch drawing with the robot and the aliens, but I had it colored in there. It's super cool now.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
The front's really cool.
That's my favorite part.
I know.
and the guy that, shout out to MJ, I don't know his, I think it's Michael. Yeah, Michael Phillips. He's an illustrator. He lives somewhere in the Midwest, but he's from SoCal. He did a lot of stuff for Slam back in the day, and Flow and everything. He's a really cool illustrator, but he's been taking these drawings and like vectorizing them for me and doing touches and cleaning them up. So big shout out to him. It turned out super cool.
And we'll have a new drop shirt to announce.
New drop shirt. Yeah, that's exciting as well.
Yeah. So Chris Rhodes knocked one out. It was just a sketch and I showed it to you and you're like, let's just roll with this thing.
Let's
and
do it.
Tweaked it up a little bit. And so I think that one's going to be interesting to see the reaction on that one.
It's a little bit different.
It is.
It's a little bit different.
But who cares, right?
Whatever, man.
Whatever.
At this point, whatever.
Yeah. We know the t-shirt guy that prints them, that he gives us a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Gratis.
So. No. Yeah.
Just kidding. But anyway. Cool. All right, well.
I think that's it, unless you got anything else.
No, we'll talk next week. What's up with your mic? What is that thing on your mic? Is that a little...
A little pop filter.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just like...
Just had one?
I just saw someone with one, and I was like, oh, do they make one for this little microphone?
And they do.
And they do, and it was $10 on Amazon. So I was like,
send me the link.
I'm just gonna get it. Yeah, I will. It just... I don't know if it does anything, but...
You're going to find out.
It's cool.
We're going to find out this week.
Yeah, and it looks cool.
It is. Yeah,
yeah, it's very professional. It gives it a little more... Yeah, professional, I guess.
A little more podcasty feel.
Yeah, it's just rubber banded on it.
All right. Well, all right. We'll see you next week.
Buy more stuff from our websites.
Thanks. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't do the giveaway.
I know. I wasn't going to say anything.
Next week. Bye.
Next week. Bye.